From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through GEICO, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
It's good to talk, we're told, but in a world of increased automation where our phone can even be our therapist, we're slowly being silenced. So writes Cathy Donaghy in the Irish Independent. So are we losing our social skills, manners and even the ability to say simply hello or hold a basic conversation? Joining us now to discuss it is Cathy Donaghy. Cathy, really interesting piece about loneliness and its kind of, I suppose, a connection to the fact that we're all on our phones and we're all communicating now virtually by text, etc. Tell us what prompted the article.
Yeah, hi Kira, lovely to talk to you. I suppose it was prompted by, and this is not the first time this has happened actually, but I picked up the phone to a work contact recently. I'm really old fashioned as a journalist. I like the phone. I sort of like to talk to people. I find it, sometimes it's the easiest way just to have a conversation and to clear things up. There's no misunderstanding. So I'm definitely someone who phones, but I'm of a generation who has always done that. So I understand that not some people are a wee bit phone phobic. But anyway, I suppose what prompted the article was when I picked up the phone to call a work contact in a work context about something I was writing about. The phone rang out, that was fine. But immediately the person sent me a text to say, don't call, as it was anxiety inducing. And I think, you know what, that is becoming more familiar. You know, you try and ring someone and you can see that they're online, but the phone is going unanswered. And I think that we definitely know that phone phobia has been recognised as something that researchers identified strongly in Gen Z. Those are the young people aged between 14 and 29. But I think it's afflicting all of us, Kira. I think we're becoming a bit more reticent. If we don't recognise a number on our phone, we're saying, no, I'm not answering it. Or we're screening calls, or we're like, oh, I'll deal with that later. I don't feel like picking up the phone now. And I think what happens over time is that we saw this in COVID, where people talked a lot about our social muscles. As human beings, we like to talk. But when we weren't getting out and about to a pub or a club or just places where we would congregate generally, that we psychologists were saying, you know, people's social muscles were sort of atrophying a bit. And I think our talking muscles, right, the ones that we use in conversation on the phone, I think they're becoming a wee bit stagnant as well, because we're just more reticent to use them. And I think there's also a trend that's been identified in psychology that people are a bit wary of spontaneity. They prefer pre-arranged conversations. They like to have it scheduled in the diary before they'll actually engage in a real-time conversation. So I think all of these things are playing into the fact that, yeah, we know we're much more digitally connected, but sometimes I wonder, does that mean that we're losing the power to just have a chat?
Yeah, maybe. And I suspect I am somewhat guilty of this, and I'm no Gen Zer, but I don't like answering the phone to people. And Shane Coleman regularly slags me on this show about that fact. And my outgoing message on my phone, if somebody rings me, says, you know, sorry, I can't take your call right now. And then it says something along the lines, the best way to get me actually is by sending a text. So I actually have that, an outgoing message. So I'm kind of down with the kids on this one a little bit. And I was kind of wondering myself as I was listening to you there, going, why do I have that? And I'm wondering, is it a bit of low level social anxiety? Mm-hmm. In many of us, insofar as that I'm perfectly articulate and perfectly able to hold a conversation, I talk for a living, but I don't actively choose to chat, you know, spontaneously or idly with people. It's not my favorite thing. I actually do prefer text.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think this is something that perhaps, You know, I'm guilty of this myself as well, Kira. I mean, I'll see a call coming in, I can't deal with this right now. I'm just in the middle of making dinner for the kids, yeah. Or, you know, and you cannot actually, we cannot be always on. That's fair enough. But I do think that, you know, that chat that we're talking about, you know, that we would have done, you know, at the school gates, or we would have done maybe gone into the bank, or we would have done gone into the supermarket. Slowly, I think our world is becoming more silent, because you'll meet someone now, and even people out for a walk, they've got the headphones on. They actually don't want to let other people yeah. in. Or, you know, they've got the phone clutched so that, wave, and they're just keep moving forward. I think people are sort of just not chickening out. That sounds like they're, you know, it's a fear thing. But I think people are choosing perhaps not to engage in the way that we would have done with small talk before, where we had to have those kind of social ways of going, even to shoot the breeze in a queue at the bank. A lot of those opportunities for our social interactions are being removed by the very automated nature of society. Yeah. Well, we don't even have to call a person to ring a taxi anymore. You just go online and click, it's Uber. Click, and click. If you want to request a silent journey, that's fine. These things years ago would have sounded absolutely insane, that you would ask someone not to talk to you, that you prefer. But I know people have the right to their privacy and to their space and to silence. But, you know, I think there's, when you open yourself up to conversation, right, something magical really happens. You could be sitting at a bus stop and just start to talk to someone. These conversations, they take us on these beautiful labyrinthine journeys, I think, sometimes, and we never know who we're going to meet. I remember years ago when I was going to college and on the bus from Donegal to Dublin, sometimes you just hopped on the bus and you never knew who you were going to be sitting beside. These days, you'd have the headphones on, you'd be yeah. on your phone. Years ago, you sat there and all of a sudden, you looked at this person sitting beside you and you'd be chatting to them. And honestly, the most amazing conversations about life came up when we are open to talking to someone. But if we close ourselves off from it, I think we shut down a lot of those beautiful ways that we can be human. Yeah, that's really my point.
I think you're right. And you also make the point, a very well-made point in the article, loneliness is as deadly as 15 mm-hmm. cigarettes a day habit. Loneliness is considered has a effect on our longevity and all of those sorts mm-hmm. of things. And we know mm-hmm. from all the surveys and studies that the Irish are self-reported as among the loneliest people in Europe. We score really high on the loneliness, I suppose, scale as compared to other places. And we also know from talking to psychologists and all that connection is what people really crave in their life. So we're somehow getting it wrong, aren't we? If we crave connection and if we're feeling lonely, but we're falling into these habits that bat people away from us, how do we square that circle?
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, one of the things that big tech thinks it can innovate us out of loneliness, it can give us an app that'll sort it out, or we're only one algorithm away from solving all these problems. And yet, despite all of this convenience, we are still feeling more lonely. And I think what it takes is, you know, it just takes a bit of maybe courage to take the first step to say, you know what, I'm just going to go and as the psychologist Porrick Walsh makes the point, go into these situations where you have what he calls happen upon encounters. So that's where you just go to somewhere where the stakes aren't high socially. You're not going and sitting at the bar on your own. You're going into a park, or you're going somewhere where there's sort of lower stakes, and you're maybe seeing what happens, what kinds of conversations come up. And I think it's like the muscles that we use in every day. If you go for your walk, you'll build that resilience to going for a longer walk. I think our social skills are like that too. The more we use them, the better they'll be. But if we sit in a room or we say, oh, do you know, I can't face it, and I'm going to sit online and look at all these people doing all these other things, and we have let FOMO set in, or we allow the apps to take over our lives, then we're just going to find that loneliness is like a creep. I think it slowly starts to erode the muscles that we need to be social in the world. And it does take courage when we're not feeling great, or we're not feeling, I can't do this today. It does take a wee bit, but, you know, you'll never, I always, it's like I have a habit of going for a swim, right? And I always feel like I'll never regret that swim. You know, I'll never come back home feeling worse. And sometimes, are you ever going to come back and say, well, that was you open yourself up to these encounters. Mm. You don't know what's going to happen. And the most amazing encounters
convinced. I'm going to start chatting to people in the line in the supermarket and all, because you're right, those kind of low level things, and they do actually give you a bit of a lift.
I think it's a two-way street, Kira. You know, it leaves us feeling better, and it also leaves the other person feeling better, so it's a win-win.
Absolutely, well said. Listen, thank you for talking to us, Cathy. That is journalist
and
writer there, Cathy Donaghy.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.